This morning, there are some things that I want to talk about. One is virgin birth. Jesus had a unique death. And Jesus, after he left, he fulfilled scripture that said, your daughters and your sons shall prophesy. They will speak in new tongues. These are the signs that Jesus was the Son of God. These were the signs. One, that he had a supernatural birth. He had a unique death. And if you think hanging on the cross is unique, that's not what unique is. That had nothing to be with unique. That was actually quite common. That was the most brutal form of torture that's not true. There was a lot of brutal forms of torture that Rome came up with. But it normally took you 3 days to die. As you were hung on the cross, your hands nailed, your feet nailed. And it wasn't an easy death. It was a horrible death. Your lungs filled up with fluid. You didn't die, you didn't bleed out. You normally were alive for 3 days. You didn't eat. You didn't drink. They would give you some, normally, with a sponge. But you didn't have food. And the reason they gave you water is so that you would stay alive long enough. They wanted you to stay alive for 3, 4, 5 days. So they would feed you water. They would give you water. And the only way to breathe as your lungs are filling up with water was not to slouch down, but it was to push up with your feet to make more room in your lungs to breathe. And then your body would go back down and the splinters that would dig into your back. They didn't sand it really nice for you to hang on. Be like, oh, this is going to bother whoever we crucify. Let's sand this piece of wood. No, that was purposed that way. And every time you pushed up, splinters went in your back. And every time you went down. And then if you pushed forward, it put more pain on your arms and your feet. It was a brutal death. And the Roman Empire did this to show people, don't mess with us. If you try to overthrow us, if you break our laws to this degree, this will be your punishment. And they normally did the cross on the outside of town among roads so that others coming in would know. They normally put a plaque up letting them know what they did wrong so that travelers would not make the same mistake. And it would cause fear among the people, so that they would stay in line with the law. And so that's not even unique. That was actually common among Rome. The unique part was Jesus died very quickly. That was unique. Because normally, when they wanted you to die and you were taking a long time, they would break your legs so that you couldn't push up and you would drown in your own fluid. Merry Christmas. Sorry, I know this is very edifying and building up. But that was not, the death on the cross was not unique. It was common, but it was normally saved for the worst of the lawbreakers. Not someone just claiming to be a savior. Interesting. But Jesus died in a very short period of time. So he had a virgin birth, a unique death, and fulfilled the prophecy of Job that after he died, the Holy Spirit came and gave us power to be witnesses all over the world and infilled us with the ability to speak in tongues. Those things had to be done for him to be the Savior. They were prophesied that these things will happen. And when Jesus was born until his death, he fulfilled all prophecy. If there was no infilling with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, he would not have been the Son of God. Job, the book of Job. The book of Joel is the one that tells us, as Joel prophesied. Hello? Where's that at? Y'all looking at me weird. I love y'all. All right, you have found chapter 9. We're going to read in verse 6. One of the reasons we celebrate Christmas, yes, it is the birth of our risen Savior. Yes, it is the one who's caused all humanity to be saved. It is all these things. But we also celebrate Christmas because we needed a Redeemer. We had to have someone redeem us. 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. We sing that every year. But that is such an important part, and I'm going to come back to it. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The part I want to focus on here this morning is a child is born and a son is given. This is written 500 years before the birth, the burial, and the resurrection of our Jesus Christ. 500 years. This was a prophecy 500 years before Jesus ever showed up on the face of the earth. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. We're still talking about this 2,000 years after the death and burial of Jesus. 2,500 before or after the writing of this. 2,000 after it was fulfilled. We sing about it. We still read the scripture. You can turn with me to John chapter 1 and verse 1. A child was born, speaks of the humanity of Jesus Christ. And a son was given, speaks of the deity of Jesus himself. Because see, if it was just a child born, we're all just children born. But this was a son that was given from heaven. So the child speaks of his humanity, his earthly human flesh. And the Son speaks of His deity, the power of God Almighty. John chapter 1 and 1 says, in the beginning. What is this reference to? Do you know? Where else do we hear? In the beginning. Genesis 1, in the beginning. So we're reaching all the way back to Genesis. In the beginning was the Word. Who are we speaking of? Now, later on in the scripture, it absolutely tells us who we're speaking of, but you had it right. Tell me again. Loud and proud, Jesus. This is speaking of Jesus. In the beginning, what's the Word? We can put it this way. In the beginning was Jesus. And the Word was with God. Or we could say, and Jesus was with God in the beginning. And the Word was God. And Jesus was God. Now, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. Jesus was made flesh, and He was the Word in flesh and blood. He was God in the flesh, He was man in the flesh, and God in the blood and man in the blood. You could not separate Him as a humanity, as a man, from Him as being God. He was child that was born and the son that was given. Continue in verse 14, and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. Wow. The glory that Jesus walked in was of the Father. To see Jesus was to see the Father. God even said that Himself. The disciples actually asked Jesus, can you show us God? You're the Son of God. Can you show us God? And Jesus said, how long do I have to be with you? If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Everything I do is the will of God. How awesome would it be for us to be able to say the same thing? I believe we should be able to. If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Amen. Bless you. He may not have, you know, in the morning, you may not feel like, if you see me, you see the Father. In traffic, you may not feel like if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Talking to whoever, roommates or spouses, you may not feel like sometimes if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But the Lord God Almighty lives on the inside of you. And you should be able and are fully equipped to say, I do the will of God. Isn't that wonderful? I want you to turn. We've got a lot of scriptures to go to. We're going to go to Job chapter 9. I want to give you four things. And we're going to go over them very quickly. I didn't even start my timer, so I can go forever now. We're going to go over four things this morning. I'll go ahead and give them to you, so you can write them down and write notes underneath them. Are you ready? One, Jesus became our mediator. Two, He is our propitiation. Three, He is our intercessor. And four, He is our advocate. These are things that Jesus became for us. I want to ask a question this morning. I'm not trying to trick you, very simple. It's in the Bible. What is the wages of sin? Death. You know, reading that scripture when I was studying it, just I've thought about it a lot, but never kind of in this manner. What are wages?
Payment.
For work. Something that was done. If you go to work, someone, you work for them, you have a job, you do the work, and normally they give you the payment after, right? Some jobs give you the payment ahead of time. Jesus gave you the payment before you ever entered into this earth. He paid the price. But there was something we did that had to be paid for. Have you ever broke something in a store? You break it, you buy it? I have. When I was a kid, have you ever seen those things that almost look like a, what does that look like? It looks like a, what do you call it, where the sand's in and it tells, you know, give you an hour? Hourglass, thank you. The hourglass, but it has liquid in it, and you put your hand on it, and then it bubbles up the liquid. Your hand, the heat from your hand makes the liquid bubble up to the top of the hourglass. Have you ever seen that? Those are great, especially for a kid. It blows your mind. So I had the great idea. What if I put my hand on both ends? What happens then? So I gripped it really hard, and that's made with very thin glass. It broke. You break it. You buy it. And so there was a work that was done and wages must have been paid. And Jesus was the payment for the sin that He never committed. Amen. He was like my mother and father who had to pay for something they did not break. Jesus had to pay for something that He did not break. Yes. Well, let me rephrase that. He didn't have to do anything. It was a plan from the beginning. He knew that He would be the payment. In the beginning was God. In the beginning, the Word was with God. Jesus was with the Lord from the very beginning. This wasn't something that happened one day where Jesus was sat down with His Father and God said, "Son, I need to talk with you. Let's have a serious one-on-one." "Oh, yeah, Daddy." And He sits down. Look at humanity. They've done some really horrible things. Yep, they have. Now, I need you to die for them. But Dad, I don't want to. When did we decide this? This is not fair. That was not the conversation the Lord had. Jesus knew from the beginning. It wasn't a surprise. It didn't shock Him off the throne. He didn't get upset with God and walk away and go to His own room. He knew from the beginning that He would be the payment for sin. He would be the wages for sin. Now, Job chapter 9. We're going to start in verse 2. You know, if sin could have been paid for by gold and silver, it would have been easily paid. If it would have been paid for by the giving the universe away, it could have been easily paid. But the wages of sin are death. What are the wages of your work? What do you get? Money. You get finance. That's the wages of work. You put in time, money is what you get back. The wages of sin, what has to be paid, is death. And Jesus took care of death on the cross. Now, Jesus is eternal. He is forever. We or how should I put that? We'll get back to that. Let's read in verse 2. "I know it's so of a truth, But how should man be justified with God? If he will contend with him, he cannot answer himself, one of a thousand. Job is realizing how good God really is. And realizing how bad nature and flesh can be. Let's jump to verse 32. And then we're still talking about God here. For he is not man as I am, that I should not answer him, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hands upon us both. The word daemon here means umpire or mediator. To have an umpire. I like the word umpire. I really wish that it would have been translated umpire instead of mediator. Because I get that a little more. An umpire, I got a question. You ever play baseball? Anyone ever play softball? Where's the umpire? Behind you. You got normally two guys on the each side of the bases looking to see if somebody's safe or whether they're out. But the umpire calls the shots. And then not only that, but the umpire is right behind the catcher. He's not in the grandstands. He's not standing with your parents or your friends who come to watch you play. He's standing on the field. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is not in the grandstands. He's in the heart of the believers. Amen. He is with us. We take him everywhere we go. He never leaves us, nor does he forsake us. He is in the game with us. Amen. So I love that. And Job is finally getting to a point where he realizes we need somebody in between God and in between us. I want to tell you something that came to us on Calvary. That is the Son of God. His hand can be touching God, and his hand can be touching humanity. He was our umpire. He is the one that is with us, calling the shots and calling the game. Jesus is no longer just in heaven. He's with us. Now, the wonderful thing is, he's on the right hand of God, but he's also with us. Let's turn to 1 Timothy. I got a lot of scripture to read this. 1 Timothy 2 and 5. For there is one God and one mediator between us. Or we could say one daysman, umpire, between us and God and man. This is what's wonderful. God is the Word. The Word has the way we should live. The one calling whether you're safe or not is Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, I loved baseball. I loved it. Anyone know my position? Anyone want to guess? What do you think I'd play? Go ahead. Catcher. Did I ever tell you that? How did you know that? I played many positions. You get a point. You get a star. The rest of you are running behind him. I played many positions. I was third base, shortstop, first base, second base. I played all infield. I think one time I played center when we needed that. But for the majority, I always played the catcher. I loved being the catcher. Because in baseball, that is the only position that you can have full contact. Is when they try to steal home. You tuck that ball in. This is the way my father taught me. He said, son, you tuck the ball in. You watch them when they come in. You stick your helmet down. You stick it right in their chest. And you lift up. That is what my father taught me to do. And can I tell you, that was fun for me. I loved being the catcher. Now, my coach also taught me a few things. Now, this is not how it works in the body of Christ, okay? All right, this is not how it works in the body of Christ. My coach taught me, son, if the ball's close and it's a little low, snatch it up quick and make the littlest movement as possible. Because sometimes the umpire can't see exactly where it hits and he will lean over to see where your glove is. And if the glove is in the strike zone, he'll call it a strike when it's not. One time the ball hit the plate. I grabbed it and snatched it up. The umpire had no idea, looked over my shoulder, and he called it a strike. The guy that was the batter turned around and yelled at the ump. He said, it hit the plate. And the umpire looked at me and said, son, did that ball hit the plate? I looked at him and I said, let me tell you what my daddy always told me. When the umpire calls it, that's what it is. And the umpire laughed and said, son, you're right. And that was his third strike and he was out. Now, he didn't like that, so his back came across my face mask. And then both teams came in and shook hands. The other team was disqualified. We automatically won. But can I tell you something else that's great about being the catcher? When a baseball bat comes across your face, it is so padded that it really doesn't hurt you. It might push your whole body backwards and you might need adjustment afterwards. But for the majority, if they hit you across the chest or the knees, you're going to be okay. Now, this is what I love. You're standing, you're the catcher, your team. We're playing as the body of Christ here. And maybe you threw a ball or the pitcher threw a ball and the enemy should actually walk on first base. Should actually take advantage. Jesus is in the back saying, strike. And the team is saying, wait a minute. My job is the accuser of the brethren. Do you know what they did last week? Do you know what your word says is true? The wages of sin is death. We should be advancing and they should be decreasing according to your word, Lord. And Jesus says, I am the umpire. Whatever it is that I call, it is the answer. And the enemy can say, didn't you see the ball hit the plate? Yeah. And Jesus says, I see that they are covered by the blood of Jesus. Yeah. I see that they are covered. And so the Lord has already called it a strike. And your team is ready to advance. And their team is off the plate. That's good. Woo, Lord Jesus. You didn't even know baseball could be used in a Christian manner. But Jesus is the umpire. He is between us and God. See, the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. And it says he stands before the Lord at times and accuses the brethren. We have evidence of this against one of the great priests of the Old Testament. Right. Uh-huh. He did something wrong. Ooh. If a minister does something wrong today, they're blasted all over, Charisma magazine and right. Churches talk about them. But, thank God that in the Old Testament, CNN and all that wasn't invented yet. And this priest did something wrong. And the enemy went to God and said, when he walks in your presence, he should be dead. And Jesus was his intercessor. We need an intercessor today. And thank God we have him. Jesus is the intercessor. He is the mediator between God and man. In verse Romans, you don't write this down. Romans 8 and 6 says, but he has obtained a more excellent ministry by how much also he is the mediator, a better covenant. Yes. Which was established upon better promises. Amen. We got a better covenant than what was in the Old Testament. And we have a better promise. It's better unto us than what was unto those before us. Amen. Romans 9, write it down. Romans 9 and 15. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament by what means of death for his redemption of the transgressions that were also under the First Testament. They which are called mighty receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Jesus is our mediator that we may have an eternal residence. Praise the Lord. Yes. Oh, aren't you thankful? Amen. Yes. Woo! This is a good reason to celebrate Christmas. Yes. Number two, he is our propitiation. Romans 3 and 25 says, for who God has set free to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. To declare his righteousness for the remissions of sin that are passed through the forbearance of God. Oh, my Lord. Amen. Jesus is our payment. 1 John 4 and 10 says, herein is the love, not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Jesus came into this life and into this world to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. I forgot what commander it was when they asked him what the purpose of the U.S. military forces were for. He said to break things and kill people. I mean, that was a very short answer. Do you know what Jesus' purpose was? To to destroy the works of the enemy and kill sin. Yes. To edify the kingdom of God. Yes. I want to tell you something. That's your purpose here on this earth. Yes. Is to edify the kingdom of God. Live a life that kills sin. Amen? Amen. Woo! I'm going quickly because I don't even know what time it is. Somebody please tell me. 11:20. We're ending very quickly here. He is our intercessor. Have you ever heard of intercessor prayer? Yes. The Lord intercedes for you. Yes. How many of you are intercessors? We got some intercessors in this place. Please pray for me. Thank you. Romans 8:3 says, who is he that condemns? Is it Christ that died? Yea, rather, that it is risen again, who is even at the right hand of the Father, who also makes intercession for us. Oh, yes. Jesus, one of his ministries now is intercession. And he prays for the church. He prays for you. He prays for us as individuals. And when the enemy condemns us, he is our attorney.
That's right. That's right.
You can't have a better attorney than Jesus Christ himself. God is also Jesus, he became our advocate. And you know, what is our advocate? It is our attorney. 1 John 2:1. Are you ready for this? My little children, these things written I unto you, that ye sin not. That's not a very popular message this morning. I think most churches try to stay away from the word sin. Can I tell you this? We're not condemned by sin. We're set free from it. And the beautiful thing is, it doesn't mean you don't make mistakes. It means that when you have made a mistake, you go to 1 John 1:9 and say, Lord, I repent from my ways. I turn. And God says, he forgives them all. And what's wonderful is you don't have to hold on to it. See, people, your sin is dead. And a lot of times what people want to do is get that sin taxidermied. And they want to put it on their mantle. And they want to cry about it. Some people want to celebrate it. The good old days. Look at that dead thing up there. My God, my God. If I didn't have Jesus in my life, I'd be there. I tell you what. I've had people. You better be thank God I had Jesus in my life. Because beforehand, woo, I'd put this on your head. You know, they talk about it like it was good. It was fun. And then you got people who cry over it. Look at all I did. I can't even be used by God because look at that follows me around everywhere. You know why? Thank you. I'm glad you like that. You know why it follows you around? Because you stuffed it and put it on the mantle. When you go on vacation, you pack it. You take it with you on vacation. You put it up in the hotel. When you go out to eat, you put it under your arm and you carry it with you. Sin is dead. What I'm trying to tell you is stay away from it. You don't have to bring it up anymore. You don't have to deny it. I'm not telling you to deny your past, but what I am telling you, if it shouldn't make you feel bad anymore. Get over it. Don't let it stop you anymore. I'm not saying you might not cry about the things you did to people, but don't let the things you did stop you from moving forward. God is your advocate. He is your lawyer. And he has said you are covered by the blood of Jesus. Your sin holds you no longer. Every chain that held on to you is broken. Walk out of jail. Get out of jail. Don't even, you know, just go past, go collect $200 and skip the jail. God is saying, I have set you free. I have set you free. And there are a lot of Christians today that have picked up their chains and they picked up their sins and they carry it with them and they say the Lord can't use them. God has to use them because look at all my mistakes. Look at all my problems. Look at everything I did and they carry it with them. Jesus is your advocate. He has forgiven you of your sins. As he told the woman that was dragged out of the streets that committed adultery, and the elders said, look at this lady. And they wanted Jesus to stone her to death. And he said, you that have not sinned, cast the first stone. But after everybody left, he picked her up and he said, go and sin no more. I'm going to tell you something.
Yep.
If you're holding on to something, let it go.
That's right.
Go and sin no more.
That's right.
What if I mess up, Pastor? Should I cry about it? Well, first of all, stop messing up. Stop it. And number two, if you have, 1 John 1:9, I already told you what to do about it. Repent doesn't mean I use this to stay in sin. I don't use the grace of God to stay in sin. I use the grace of God to get out of sin. Because the grace destroys sin. It gets rid of it. Thank God He gave us a way that if we mess up, if we make a mistake, to get out. But your sin has not just been covered, it's been destroyed. Let it go. Look at your neighbor and say, let it go. It was the high priest was Joshua. It was Joshua who the enemy went against. And if you read the story of Joshua, God basically tells Satan, shut up. I got him covered.
Yeah.
Case is dismissed.
That's right.
You know, the enemy may sit down and you may even replay in your mind everything you have done. Yep. What you need to have in your life is to recognize that Jesus stands up and says, when you're thinking about that, I object.
That's right.
I object.
That's right.
And God says, what is the base of your objection? 1 John 1:9, they're covered by the blood of Jesus. They've turned from their sin. They are forgiven. Jesus gives his case to the Father. The Father hits his gavel and says, case dismissed.
That's right.
Don't hold on to dead things. Just not clean. It's dirty.
That's right. That's good.
Jesus is our mediator. He is our propitiation. He is our intercessor. He is our advocate. We have a lot to celebrate this Christmas because of the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful this morning? Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for everything you've done for us. Lord, if you never did anything else for us, we would have everything to do to give our lives for you.